Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their time, their insights, and their expertise with us to help us grow our businesses. My name is Gary Lafty, your host and founder of the Authority Accelerators, where we help tech founders and leaders increase sales, maximize their profits, and dominate their competition. How? By turning them into authorities in their niche, rather than staying in the pool of sameness with all the other experts. On this episode, I'm extremely pleased to have our guest Spencer. And before I bring him on, I want to tell you what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about standing out, how to get that voice of yours heard out there in the marketplace so that your ideal clients and your ideal partners can actually get to hear how you are different and the value that you bring, and so much more. So make sure you stay around for the whole episode because it's going to be an absolute cracker of one. So without further ado, Spencer, it's an absolute pleasure having you here on this episode. Why don't you start off by giving us a brief summary of who you are, where you're from, and what is it that you do?
Absolutely, Gary. Really appreciate the time. I'm glad that you asked me to be on the podcast episode today. So my name is Spencer Bradley. I'm the Vice President of Business Development and Sales here at Solutions Review and InsideJam.com. And really happy to dive into the conversation.
Fantastic. Well, we've got so much to unpack today. You know, when we were talking before, I just got to know we've got so many insights that we want to share. But why don't we dial back a little bit? And why don't you give us a bit about your journey, a bit about your career, from where you started to how you ended up here today?
That sounds great. And it's a bit of an interesting one. So I started right out of college, right out of school in 2013 as a business development representative, really for our parent company, which was a company by the name of LeadSpark. And LeadSpark was a more traditional appointment setting company. We worked with a lot of the largest tech brands, helping them with their inside sales and beginning to schedule those initial meetings for their account executives and whatnot. And after a couple of years of doing that, we launched Solutions Review, which is very much so an online media platform for tech experts, practitioners, industry, market trend leaders, things of that nature to better understand their options when considering various tech solutions. So after my initial go in the sales world with LeadSpark, I was offered the opportunity to join the Solutions Review team and started hitting the ground running with trying to bring on new clients there and have subsequently moved my way up the ladder to the Director of Business Development and Sales and now the Vice President of Business Development and Sales here. So it's been quite the journey. I've loved every second of it and learned a lot in the time that I've been here.
Well, congratulations on all your promotions and getting to where you are today. So your company has positioned itself as an authority in the marketplace. It is a very crowded marketplace. So what key steps do you think you guys have taken that you could share with us that have helped you stand out in such a crowded, over-fragmented market?
Absolutely. So what we realized is that over time, as the B2B technology landscape was really starting to evolve, so did the need for more content-driven and research-oriented approach to demand generation marketing. Really recognizing this shift, we transitioned Solutions Review as a tech media platform really designed to provide buyers with the independent insights and expert analysts and curated content across enterprise technology markets. And one thing that we absolutely knew was necessary is to build a truly trusted brand and an audience that we have our executive editor here, a gentleman by the name of Timothy King, who has gone from 2,000 followers on LinkedIn to over 27,000, and subsequently built very strategic relationships with other industry experts and analysts of the sort to boost our universe of influence, is what we call it. You know, it's great if one person has 20,000 followers, but if you link 10 different profiles with 27,000 followers, your content gets out there very quickly and in a very meaningful manner.
Yeah, and that's a really key point. And, you know, as I said, people tend to forget that LinkedIn can be shared to a degree. You know, if you know what you're doing there, rather than just, hey, this is my profile, this is my company profile. And whilst we're on that, you know, when it comes, what is the biggest difference you're seeing between the use of the personal profile with regard to the company profile on LinkedIn? Because that's a bit of confusion for most people. Do I put more effort into the company side, or do I put more effort into my own branding side?
Absolutely. And one thing that we firmly believe here is that it has to be, in a very contingent way, in a way that you're building your personal brand brand alongside the company brand. If you have, you know, experts that are, you know, tech practitioners within your organization that are really well-versed and very knowledgeable around your solutions and just solutions in the market, they need to be, you know, a spokesperson on their own behalf, but then also on the company behalf as well. Building that personal brand alongside the company brand, I think, is very, very key to driving success in how you begin to have people come to you as an authoritative figure and as a thought leader and continue to be able to, you know, grow that voice to the market and to your prospects. So it's very important to certainly be on top of the company profile and what you're sharing there, but to make sure that it's linked directly to, you know, your top champions, internal champions, if you will.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And I think as you know, for those who are listening to, who are now, hopefully they've got, I never thought of that before. And that's hopefully what we're trying to do with this podcast is to sort of provoke some thought into thinking, yes, that might be a good thing. So you've got champions, and I love the way you use that. We've got champions in the company. Let them also build their own profile, their own personal profile, but at the same time building it for the company as well. Because at the end of the day, companies are made up of people. And if we can continue building that from people, and we're gonna dive more into that as we go along. So what do you think in your experience now, you're dealing with a lot of tech founders, what is the biggest challenge that you see tech founders and consultancies face when it comes to growing and scaling their business today?
Certainly. I think there's a few, points. And I think one of them is premature scaling, you know, really mistakes where they're expanding rapidly before achieving a very specific product market fit or proven business model. This often leads to, you know, burning through cash without sustainable growth. And really, for them to be able to focus on validating, you know, their core value and positions and achieving consistent user growth and engagement before aggressively scaling, I think is key for founders and tech startups to really be able to exceed and continue to grow as, you know, other companies are trying to push them out of the market as quickly as possible. It's something that we've seen a lot of. As you know, a lot of the, you know, venture capitalist firms are betting on one key company to take them all the way, and most of those fail, 90% of those fail. And it's because they're thrown in there and, you know, they can't stay necessarily focused on their, goals and what they're looking to achieve. So it's really important for companies to remain consistent and, you know, really build their product up to the point where it's ready for, you know, rapid growth.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking a lot about consistency as we go through this particular episode, because we're going to see it slotting into place in many of the things that we're actually going to be talking about. But what strategies, do you mind sharing, what strategies have worked best for you in terms of acquiring new clients and growing revenue? Because at the end of the day, you can have the best product, the best service, the best SaaS, but unless you are getting that message out there in a great, consistent way, then you're just no more than the best kept secret. You're just a big dream. So what strategies have really worked for you into growing there and getting that message out?
It's true. And it's the consistency, like you had just mentioned. You know, that's definitely going to be a key element to anything that I mention here, because one thing that we've always seen is that, you know, you can do mass email blasting to fatiguing lists of serial downloaders that are, you know, used to just to taking any content that's coming to them and putting them into a file that they can review later. But, you know, really building those deeper relationships with your prospects where, you know, you're constantly teaching, you're constantly developing learning tools for companies to better understand what your product is offering and, you know, not diving in and trying to, you know, flip over a sale and then just kicking it over the wall and moving on to the next one. That's great. You know, there's areas for that. But, you know, when you're really trying to build a long-term, you know, very strong foundational company and business, it's a matter of continuously executing around resources that will help the end users and the prospects that you're looking to target know who you are, really know your core values as a company and as a team. And doing that across not only sales, but doing that across marketing, doing that across engineering, doing that across product development, all of those different areas of the business have to be in sync with how they're going to market. If the messaging is coming across differently from five different, you know, departments within an organization, it starts to turn I would say, away or turn them off in a sense. So it's, you know, very important to remain consistent with messaging and to have a company that is touching the prospects in multiple different arms of the business. So then they're getting that consistent messaging and it's trusted. You know, that's how you build to become an authority within a space and an expert within a space, because they know that they can go to any member of that team and have a conversation that, you know, can get them the answers that they're really looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's two main things there, Spencer, that I want to break down for people there. You know, you mentioned about the consistency and not necessarily just trying to go for the sale and knock the ball out of the park every single time. When you're giving out there, when you're giving your content, we'll talk about more about content in a minute, but your messaging out there really should be consistent. A lot of people would say to, well, what do I put out there? I can't consistently put stuff out there. But when you think about it, it's not about hitting the ball out of the park every single time. There are many things, top of funnel, middle of the funnel, not just the bottom of the funnel stuff. You've got to educate, do this educational marketing. Why is the problem needs to be solved? What does your product or service do? And why is it out there? What made you do that? What is it about you? All these different types of things I can get out there rather than just say, hey, we got the best thing since sliced bread and you should buy it and here it is. You know, so that leads from that. But you mentioned something else, which I want to talk on to and move on to very, very quickly, was that many tech leaders out there do struggle. And when I mean struggle, they just literally don't know how to break this ceiling of being seen and heard as just another expert. You know, there's a load of experts in tech. In fact, you have to be an expert to be in tech, but they struggle to break free from being just another expert rather than the authority, like you said, being heard and seen as an authority. What advice would you give somebody who's trying to break through all that noise in that sea of sameness, as I call it?
Sure. And it's so true. You know, I think there's a lack of focus in spreading the resources that they're looking to get out there. You know, what you had just mentioned is a perfectly clear example of somebody that wants to be a leader, that wants to be an expert, that wants to be an authoritative figure, but balks at the idea of having to deliver content that is hitting a home run every single time. We firmly believe that the quick posts on LinkedIn, the quick ebooks or white papers, analyst reports, things of that nature are key to have that consistent messaging going out. And it's a factor that we believe in strongly, that it's a matter of developing video content along with written content, along with having webinars and roundtable discussions and all of the above. You know, folks that really want to pull themselves out of the crowd need to take part in those types of discussions, not just, you know, develop content that they're shooting out there hoping that it's being received, but making sure that they're building connections and relationships with other experts and founders that also have a voice and also have that universe of influence. You know, if you're connecting yourself with like-minded individuals that have a very strong following, hopefully those followers will begin to associate you as the same type of expert or authority figure that they do that initial person that they're connecting with. So I think it is very much so about building that brand, both personally and, like we were mentioning earlier, you know, as a company. But the consistency, it always comes back to that, definitely being and remaining consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great point to make there. And I think, as you quite rightly said, if you're going to do exactly what everyone else is doing, then you're just going to look and sound like everybody else. And if everyone else is an expert, that's why you're going to struggle to be no more than an expert. Yep. You've got to step up and above and rise above that and say, look, I'm prepared to do these white papers. I'm prepared to do these roundtables. I'm prepared to go and do my podcast. I'm prepared to go and step out there and be seen and heard as somebody who is above the rest of the sea of the sameness.
Absolutely.
It doesn't come overnight. It's something that you've got to keep on pushing. But the rewards are fantastic. You know, higher fees, higher product prices, better retention, less churn. That it just goes on and on and on when you are the one calling the shots.
Well, and it comes down to things as simple as, you know, something that I can point out right now. Like, Gary, with your video and the way that you are presenting yourself on camera right now is a step above what most people do out there. You know, it's very much so a step above what most people do out there. I mean, the amount of webinars that I've been on that people are talking on that webinar and their camera is off, you can't even see who they are. You know, it's just a voice behind a black screen and they're presenting a, you know, a demo or a pitch, and they haven't elevated themselves to a point where somebody wants to follow them, somebody wants to see them, somebody wants to be able to connect with that face. So that's something that we take very seriously here, you know, at Solutions Review and Insights IGM, you know, we've built a full, I'm not saying that everybody needs to do this, but we've built a full studio here that we do our virtual events through. And it just catches the eye of our prospects. You know, the folks that we're trying to, you know, get messaging out to, it catches their eye because they realize that, like, we're putting the effort in. We're putting that much effort in just to stand out to you, then hopefully they'll do the same back. And it's really important, you know, it comes down to thinking about those very small things, like how do you improve the way that you're presented on a video call? You know, little things like that make a huge difference in the long run.
Yeah, again, and I love what you just said there about it's the little things. You know, you don't have to go and do a full-blown studio. Yeah. But when you're looking at the length and breadth of the tech industry, if you look at someone like Steve Jobs there, you know, I've been very fortunate. I've shared the stage with Steve Wozniak, and he was the guy behind the thing, but it was Jobs who was putting himself over and above everybody else that made the brand stand out. You've got people like Gary Vaynerchuk, who is always with his brand, pushing out that. Richard Branson, and his Virgin brand, but he's still the one out there. He's going above what everybody else is doing. If you take just like the airline, Virgin Airlines, the fact that Richard Branson is putting himself out there, people know him and the brand. Who knows the CEO of British Airways? Who knows the CEO of American Airlines? Because they're not the ones pushing it out there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so that can happen, and that should and is beginning, which is great, happening within the tech industry. You've got to stand out. You've got to do things that other people aren't doing. And as you quite rightly said, Spencer, you don't have to have your own studio, but make a start on something and get something out there. So why don't we talk about content? Because obviously content is something that you guys are really, really involved in. There'll be people out there that'll be listening to this and go, okay, I understand. Maybe you've got a guy's got a point there, but where do I start? You know, what am I meant to be doing? Is it just posting? Is it meant to be, like you say, is it a webinar? Is it a podcast? Is it this? What would be the first three things that you would get somebody to do to start standing out and as being an authority within their field?
Certainly. You know, one thing that that we very much so focus in on, and it depends on the market, it depends on the area of focus, but, you know, our main bread and butter in terms of where we're sharing our content is on LinkedIn, but we're doing it in a very specific way. We're not just taking the company page and throwing up our, you know, latest resource or our latest article that we were developing. We are having our editorial staff and our content developers join very specific forums and discussion groups and areas that we know our prospects are participating. They're participating actively in discussions where, you know, the content that we are creating, we can share in those very specific groups. And you can search for them. There's hundreds upon thousands of groups, you know, across LinkedIn that a lot of people don't even know about or aren't keeping up with. You know, it's an area that it's a great place for you to be able to take a specific piece of content and find a group that exactly aligns with that content and share the content there. You know, it's very important to hit the right market. And if you're just posting your content on your LinkedIn, hoping that it hits the right market, maybe it will, maybe it won't. Depends on who's following your page. But if you go out and seek those prospects and seek the correct areas to share that content, it can be hugely, hugely valuable. And then back to the point of consistency, you know, our editorial staff from day one when we launched Solutions Review has been developing content that's aggregated, curated, and created across all of our sites since day one and been doing that every single day since then, to the point where we have become a true thought leader and authority when folks are searching for enterprise technology solutions. And it's because of that consistency. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a white paper, an ebook, or an analyst report that we're developing every single time. But if we're developing content that is relevant to that category that we're covering and to the audience that we've built, they come back for more and they continue to come back for more. But that's where, you know, we put the content out on our site. We know that we have a consistent traffic that comes and views that. But in terms of going out there and finding your prospects, you really do have to do the legwork. You have to find the groups that are most relevant to you, most relevant to your product, and start participating within those. You can't just sit back and hope that they find you.
Yeah, I think that's one of the plights of being in tech. You know, we think that we have this field of dreams, and those who have followed this channel for a while know that I keep talking about this. Tech isn't a field of dreams. It isn't build it and they will come. You've got to go out there and really push yourself over and above and way out than what the rest of the people are doing, to be noticed and to get them into their hands so they understand it. And again, like what you said about LinkedIn groups, very, very, very underrated, in my opinion. Very, very underrated. Whereas people would join them and then sit back, like you said, and think, now what? Yeah, but you've got to participate. If you imagine turning up to a party or a meeting and just sitting there, someone's going to notice you. You've got to actually go and help people out there, as opposed to tying it all back in again, trying not knocking it out the park first time you've been there, not trying to do one post and expect thousands of members to suddenly flood to you. You've got to be consistent in getting it out there. You know, and I think that's a great piece of insight there. LinkedIn groups, because there's practically a LinkedIn group for almost any ICP that you're working with.
100%. It's so true. And it's something that, we've seen be very successful, but it is underrated because there are, a lot of people that are, even if there are a lot of members within the group that are sitting back and not necessarily actively participating, they're still there. And just because they didn't respond directly to that post that you put right at that particular point in time, maybe it struck a nerve with them. Maybe it, caught their attention and they're, not stepping up and responding back right then and there, but then they contact you through your website directly. So it's invaluable, and it truly is something that, we've seen a lot of success with and tried to push a lot of our clients to, begin to do. To that point as well, LinkedIn allows you to develop multiple showcase pages, and showcase pages are really, really great if you're looking to get a little bit more niche with the content that you're trying to deliver to your prospects. I think Solutions Review, we have 13 individual Solutions Review showcase pages that cover all different enterprise technology categories, from identity and access management to cybersecurity, information technology, data analytics, data integration. So there's a lot of tools that they're put out there. Most of us have LinkedIn Premium at this point, and you want to try to take the full advantage of that.
Yeah, I think talking about just got me thinking there as well, Spencer, that for those who are listening and thinking, what do I need to put out there? I don't know what to put out there. Here's the thing. As Spencer said, you might have thousands of people in a group, not a lot of people doing anything, which means the bar is set so low. The bar is set so low that as long as you're doing something,
stand out.
You are one step above everybody else. And as you said, if people are, then they might not be responding, but they're watching. And if they're watching and they go to your website and have a look at your website and see what you're doing. But even today's world, it's kind of a ping pong. Let's look at the website first. Now let's go back to the person who's running it. Let me see if this is the person I want to do business with. So if you're without that brand that you build, then the website just looks like something else, just because everybody else is doing it.
Well, it's funny because if you think about it, most companies and us, Solutions Review and InsideJam.com included, the vast majority of the folks that are coming to your site are never self-identifying themselves. They're never telling you who they are. So you can track them if they provide you the, correct cookies to do so, but they're not downloading a white paper. If every single person that ever came to our website downloaded one of our buyer's guides or resources, that would be absolutely mind-boggling. But the vast majority are not doing that. They're coming, they're visiting, they're taking what they need, and they're leaving the rest. So like you had just mentioned about the groups, they're there. We know that they're there, and we know that they're coming back. They're just not necessarily raising their hand right then and there. But if you're remaining consistent, you're going to catch them when they're ready to raise their hand, when they're ready to self-identify themselves as being truly in market and ready to have, a discussion around your product.
Yeah, we're only talking 1-3% of any buyer's market that is ready to buy at any one point in time, which basically means 97% not going to be ready to buy at any time in the future. But ignore them at your peril.
Yes.
Because if you're not front of mind for them when they are ready, then they're just going to go to another competition and then put you in the same pool as the competition, and you haven't risen above. Whereas if you are talking to them when they're not ready, you can bet a dollar to a dollar they're going to talk to you when they are ready.
Absolutely.
That's an absolute key point. So we could talk about this all day, Spencer, because there's so many things people could do. But let's talk about things that, in your experience, don't work. Let's talk about things that, have had their day maybe and don't work anymore, or just blatantly don't work. So what, in your experience, what sort of method of client prospect attraction just isn't working today.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that that we feel very strongly about is the video side of getting your messaging out there. And something that we believe is, I would say, outperforming the traditional webinars are roundtable discussions. So webinars are great. They're, you know, a great way to attract, you know, new prospects and folks that are interested. But they're, you know, difficult to get people to, you know, hold their attention for a full hour or an hour and a half. So I would say the longer form video content is something that is useful, but not necessarily working the way that it may have once. You know, we're seeing a lot of, you know, uptick in shorter video content snippets that are getting a message across much faster and catching people's attention. You know, we see it with commercials, Super Bowl commercials. Those are the Super Bowl of marketing, because they're short, they're quick. They spent a year, you know, thinking of what they're going to push out there to their audience to catch them within that 30-second commercial to really, you know, make sure that they've you know, put an indelible ink mark on, you know, the prospects that they're looking to reach. So I wouldn't say that it's completely dead, but the very, very long form, you know, dry, less interactive webinar type approaches is something that we've seen shift, you know, and it's, you can still do it, but just to do it in a way that you can see the person, you can hear the person, you can see the person, the presentations that you're developing are a bit more fruitful and entertaining, if you will, to the folks that are listening. Because just because folks are in the tech space doesn't mean that they're completely bland. They want some, you know, personal interaction and, you know, share content during the actual webinar experience and things of that nature. So I would say we've seen a major shift in how folks are presenting their content in a webinar type manner, but in a positive manner with regards to, you know, the technologies that are now available to be able to make it a lot more interactive and just engaging.
So can you give us an example of what you meant by a roundtable? Because there's got roundtable, like white paper, has so many connotations to what it is. When it comes to roundtable, as far as you see it, that's working, can you give us an example of that?
Absolutely. So one thing that you know, we love doing is we have built relationships with industry experts and analysts from Gartner, Forrester, Ovum, things of that nature, where we will ask a moderator, one of those experts, to join us on a roundtable discussion where we will have that expert as the moderator, somebody that is very well versed within a space, and then have three, maybe four different vendors come and join that conversation where they're all providing answers to the moderator's question from their angle, from their perspective as a company and what their product entails and how they're going to market. They're able to provide a perspective from how their tool can be implemented, you know, within an organization to provide value. And really going in a round robin style where the expert moderator is asking the same questions or similar questions to each one of those panelists, but getting a you know, three to four different company perspective all in one hit, where it's an hour long presentation, but you were just able to review four solutions in that 1 hour versus just sitting for an hour watching a deck and slides go by for, you know, one company. We're seeing that, yeah, you're right in there with your competitors, but how better way to, you know, stand out from the crowd if you're able to, you know, really entice somebody as you're sitting right next to your direct competitors?
Yeah, and I think one of the key points that I find absolutely fascinating and very, very powerful in roundtables like that is that because there's a moderator, because there's two, three, four other people around that table as well, you're getting your point out a lot quicker in a far more succinct way than you would do if you were rambling on in an hour's presentation by yourself. You do come across as such more of an eloquent authority in your field because you are literally answering the power of the question. It's all in the power of the question. If you get the right question, then that will draw the right answer out of you and you just elevate yourself. It's an amazing thing to watch when we do that. So yeah, I do, again, I absolutely think the round tables in that format are definitely worth considering for those who are wanting to stand out more and to sort of gain more clients. So, I mean, we've talked about so much, Spencer, and time just flies by as it always is. And I have no doubt that you and I, we could continue talking for hours and hours on so many things. You know, perhaps we have to have a part two one day, but, you know, the time is with us today. So I've got a last question for you. If there's one piece of advice that you could give to a tech founder who's looking to scale their business and establish themselves as an authority. Now, they've made up their mind, go, okay, I don't want to play in the sea of sameness anymore. I want to be an authority. What would be the one piece of advice you'd give them today?
So one piece of advice that I would definitely give to a tech founder or anybody that is out there looking to continue to grow and scale their business is to not be resistant to change. You know, one of the biggest mistakes is being unwilling to adapt and change as the company grows and the market evolves. You know, certainly what we've seen, our solutions review started as a content creation business. We were developing content every single day with real life human beings sitting down behind a computer, doing their research and developing content. You know, fast forward 10, 15 years and ChatGPT and OpenAI came out and the whole content creation business just was in, you know, at a standstill, didn't know what we were going to do, where it was going to move from here. But rather than looking at that and saying, you know, our business is dead, we're not going to be able to create content and put out content as fast as some of these tools are. What we did is we started to utilize those as exactly what they are, tools to assist us with that content development. Yeah. You have to constantly be able to adapt and transform and be agile, remain as agile as possible, because as companies begin to grow and markets begin to evolve, the company needs to begin to evolve with those markets as well. Things that were, as we know, extremely cutting edge and powerful 10, even 5 years ago, are just second nature now. So being able to take what you've developed and continue to evolve it to a point where it remains consistently interesting to not only your current clients, but new prospects out there, I think is hugely important.
Yeah, that's very, very, yeah. What a great way to end. I think we'll leave that from there because let that sink in, because people aren't usually, it's common sense, but common sense always isn't common practice. We all like to think we're a little bit flexible, but generally, yeah, we've got to really think about being that thing. So people generally don't like, it's not that they don't like change. They just don't like being changed. Yes. And that's the key element to it. You know, so they're not adverse to change. They just don't want to change themselves. And if they can be, see what's in the marketplace, it can do them absolute wonders. Spencer, if people want to get hold of you, they want to know more about how they can work with you, what's the best way of doing that?
Certainly. You know, solutionsreview.com. You know, come check out our site and learn about all the content and the trends, the industry experts that we've built relationships with. It's a great resource for anybody in, you know, enterprise technology. But myself personally, you know, Spencer Bradley, you can find me on LinkedIn with Solutions Review. And then if you want to shoot me a message, email address is very straightforward. It's sbradley@solutionsreview.com. Would love to, you know, connect, have any further discussions. But this has been great, Gary. I really appreciate the time here today.
Not at all. Thank you for sharing all your insights and your time. It's been an absolute pleasure, Spencer. And you guys, ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here too as well. And no doubt you have taken a lot of insights on this. Maybe some of them thought-provoking. You're thinking, oh, never thought about that. Maybe I should start doing that. And if that's good, you've done that, fantastic. Make sure you like it. Make sure you comment on it so that other people can start to see that what you've learned, perhaps they should need to learn. But more importantly, please make sure you share this episode, share other episodes, because this is how we all grow. If you've learned something from Spencer today and you want to learn more from other leaders in the field of growing businesses within the tech, make sure you share it out to other people so that we can all grow together. So again, thank you very much for joining us for this episode. Until next time, keep moving forward, keep growing, keep being profitable. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Boom. That's it. Stopped. Oops, something went wrong. Why did something go wrong?